Good evening. Welcome to you all. It's really good to have you with us. This our Carols by Candlelight service. Welcome to David. Yeah, there you are. Thank you so much for coming, David. It's good to have you with us, as always. And thank you for bringing the Advent message to us tonight. I would like you to stay to join us for drinks at the end, our mince pies. Sure, you're not fed up with them yet, no? And I think that you're going to be served tonight, so you don't need to go to the back table. They're coming round on trays, that's great. Any monetary gift that you'd like to give tonight will go to the work of Spurgeon's Children's Homes and Charities. And there's a plate at the back of the service, so it won't be coming ground. But to remember, there's a plate at the back of the church where you can place your gift. Today is the fourth Sunday in Advent. The candles this year have each represented an aspect of what the coming of Jesus into the world means for each one of us. Hope. Our hope of eternal life is found in Jesus. Peace. Jesus gives us a peace that the world cannot give us. Joy. We sing, "Joy to the world, the Lord has come." It's joy so much more than happiness. And today we light the candle that represents love. Love came down at Christmas. The Bible says God is love. And Jesus is God, made manifest among us. Emmanuel, God with us. I think this coming up, let us pray this Advent prayer together. Ah, there it is. Before we sing our first carol, let's say together. God of love, you sent your son Jesus to shine bright like the sun, lighting the way for all who walk in darkness. Let your love shine like a light to all people, and may the light of your love always shine in our hearts. Let your love transform us and inspire us to love more deeply. Amen. We'll stand to sing our first carol, O Little Town of Bethlehem.
Above your deep and dreamless sleep. The first reading is taken from Luke chapter 26 to 35. The birth of Jesus foretold. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a village in Galilee, to a virgin named Mary. She was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of King David. Gabriel appeared to her and said, "Greetings, favoured woman. The Lord is with you." Confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. "Do not be afraid, Mary," the angel told her, "for you have found favour with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be very great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end." Mary asked the angel, "But how can this happen? I am a virgin." The angel replied, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby to be born will be holy, and he will be called the Son of God." Thanks be to God for his word.
This is a poem written by Suzanne Newman, based on verses 26 to 56 of Luke chapter 1. "Father, I worship you in reverence, for via the Holy Spirit you have sent a precious gift to grow in me, the Son of God, as a tiny baby. Lord, I was troubled and afraid on that day when the angel came to tell me this astounding news that I am your servant and I trust in you. I'm awestruck, Lord, just so amazed, and my soul cries out to you in praise. I'm humbled and will always be, for you have done such great things for me. Your mercy extends through generations. You've brought down rulers of great nations to lift the humble up instead, ensuring the hungry have all been fed. You honor the promises you have made to our ancestors in yesterdays, for you are a faithful, loving Lord who gives souls hope and makes spirits soar. When I greeted my cousin Elizabeth, she sensed my child is special and blessed. Her own babe leapt inside her womb at the knowledge our Saviour will be born soon. I'll deliver the great deliverer of all, Messiah, who redeems us from hell's fall. I can't understand why you've chosen me, but I pledge to serve you faithfully." And the angel said, "My son's birth name will be Jesus, for it means God saves. It's wondrous, Lord, that in your grace I shall get to kiss his divine face."
And this is a song that we're going to sing for you, which again talks about what Mary might be thinking.
Thank you.
Join together in singing, Hark the Herald Angels Sing.
next reading is from Matthew chapter 1, 18 to 24. This is how Jesus the Messiah was born. His mother, Mary, was engaged to be married to Joseph, but before the marriage took place, while she was still a virgin, she became pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit. Joseph, to whom she was engaged, was a righteous man and did not want to disgrace her publicly, so he decided to break the engagement quietly. As he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. "Joseph, son of David," the angel said, "do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit, and she will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All of this occurred to fulfill the Lord's message through his prophet. "Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us." When Joseph woke up, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded and took Mary as his wife.
The next reading is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, verses 1 to 7. The birth of Jesus. At that time, the Roman Emperor Augustus decreed that a census should be taken throughout the Roman Empire. This was the first census taken when Quirinius was governor of Syria. All returned to their own ancestral towns to register for this census. And because Joseph was a descendant of King David, he had to go to Bethlehem in Judea, David's ancient home. He travelled there from the village of Nazareth in Galilee. He took with him Mary, to whom he was engaged, who was now expecting a child. And while they were there, the time came for her baby to be born. She gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him snugly in strips of cloth and laid him in a manger, because there was no lodging available for them.
Thank you.
prayers read by the children. So Saxon and Sienna and Ollie, do you want to come out, Ollie? You don't want to do it now. That's fine. That's absolutely fine. Doesn't matter. So Ollie's prayer, he wanted to say, thank you for all that we have, and let us be thoughtful of those that don't have as much as we have. So Saxon, would you like to read yours first? I'll hold this.
Let's pray. Dear Father God, thank you for sending the amazing gift of your Son Jesus to us so that through him we may know love, joy and peace. Father, we ask that you grant us peace. Peace in our homes, peace in our churches, and peace in our hearts, especially when it feels like the world is all around us spins out of control. We ask that you would be the third people who find Christmas really difficult this year due to loss of loved ones, lack of money, or loneliness. Be with them and comfort them and provide for all they need and help them to know you're there for them. Help us to stay focused on you this Christmas time and always thank you for your loving the whole world enough and sending the greatest gift to your Son so that we might truly have a very Merry Christmas even in a not so merry kind of world. In Jesus' name, Amen.
Dear God, thank you for all the things that you give us. Thank you for our warm homes and where we feel safe. Thank you for our families that take care of us and love us. Please help us to be kind to other people, especially our friends at school. Help us to give to food banks so that people who don't have enough food can get the food they need. Thank you, Jesus, for coming to earth as a baby and dying for us. Thank you, God, for making such a beautiful, special world and for us to live in. Amen.
Thank you, girls. Okay. We're now going to watch a video, well, listen to a song, and it's called The Miracle of Love. And we're going to give out to you a heart for you to hang on your tree, which says, Christmas, the miracle of love. And that's what it is. And these hearts have been decorated by the children in Messy Church. So they wanted to give them from their family to our family and to share them together. So listen to the words and please hang the heart on the tree when you get home.
Chapter 2, verses 8 to 20. That night the shepherds were staying in the field nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared amongst them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified, but the angel reassured them. "Don't be afraid," he said. "I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Saviour, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. And you'll recognise him by this sign. You'll find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth, lying in a manger." Suddenly, the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased." When the angels had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, "Let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that's happened, which the Lord has told us about." They hurried to the village and found Mary and Joseph. And there was the baby, lying in the manger. After seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to him about this child. All who heard the shepherd's story were astonished. But Mary kept all these things in her heart and thought about them often. The shepherds went back to their flocks, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen. It was just as the angel had told them.
Visitors from the East.
Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the reign of King Herod. About that time, some wise men from the eastern lands arrived in Jerusalem asking, "Where is the newborn king of the Jews? We saw his star as it rose, and we have come to worship him." King Herod was deeply disturbed when he heard this, as was everyone in Jerusalem. He called a meeting for the leading priests and teachers of religious law and asked, "Where is the Messiah supposed to be born?" "In Bethlehem in Judea," they said, "for this is what the prophet wrote. And you, O Bethlehem in the land of Judah, are not least among the ruling cities of Judah, for a ruler will come from you who will be the shepherd for my people Israel." Then Herod called for a private meeting with the wise men, and he learned from them the time when the star first appeared. Then he told them, "Go to Bethlehem and search carefully for the child. And when you find him, come back and tell me so that I can go and worship him too." After this interview, the wise men went their way, and the star they had seen in the east guided them to Bethlehem. It went ahead of them and stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were filled with joy. They entered the house and saw the child with his mother, Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasure chests and gave him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. When it was time to leave, they returned to their own country by another route, for God had warned them in a dream not to return to Herod.
I haven't got a Christmas tree, so I'm making do. The first thing I want to say is thank you so much for coming. Haven't you done well? When I set off from Coventry about 10 to 5, the rain was bucketing down and the spray on the motorway was blinding me. I thought, I wonder if there'll be 5 here. Maybe if I'm lucky, there'll be 15, but I guess there's more than 50. So big congratulations to you. And I think it's been, I think the best word to describe it is a beautiful service, hasn't it? That poem was so moving. The readings have been amazing. And having 3 Beverly sisters here. And thinking a bit of nostalgia, when I got home from church this morning, because we had our carols by candlelight this morning to avoid the football. You tried to avoid it, but hardly, did you? But there was a Christmas card, very strange Christmas card. It had 4 candles. But they were stuck on forks. Any of you remember the 2 Ronnies? I think most of you were too young, aren't you? But that was one of the funniest sketches, wasn't it? For those of you who don't remember it, that he was in his ironmonger's shop and the other Ronnie came along and said, I want 4 candles. And got 4 candles. No. 4 candles. Got a different 4 and it went on and on. Of course, if only he could pronounce things properly, what he really wanted was fork handles. Hence the Christmas card. So a bit of nostalgia. Oh yeah, we got that up there. But I'm glad John is here because the first bit of this is for him. Well, you can all be involved. What does AI stand for? Come on, Johnny. Artificial intelligence. Artificial intelligence. And whether you know it or not, it's all around us. If you use Google, artificial intelligence is trying to sift through your mind to work out what interests you. If you want to chat to somebody on BT or British Gas or BG Energy, as I think it's now calling itself, the best you can get is a chat with artificial intelligence. And it's so intelligent. You say what you want it to answer and it says, don't understand. You try and put it another way, don't understand. And so it goes on. If you use Siri or Alexa, you're being tracked by artificial intelligence. And I have the hope that by the time I'm too old to keep my driving license, the car will be driven by artificial intelligence. And when I get even older and I'm in a care home, I'm hoping that it will be artificial intelligence that looks after me because we can't get enough care staff, so that's probably the way it goes. But the other day, I had a bit of a shock because I went to visit somebody and I pressed the doorbell. There was no answer. I pressed the doorbell again and the lady I was visiting said, hello, David, how are you? I couldn't make it, but it's very worrying. I thought, have I lost my marbles already? But she said, it's all right, I can see you. Well, I could only see a doorbell. I was looking at, but she was in Turkey, could see me and was talking through the doorbell. Now, I had a debate with my son and granddaughter as to whether that was artificial intelligence or just computer wizardry. I don't know the answer, but artificial intelligence, it's changing our world, isn't it? But what does UL stand for? Anybody got any idea what UL might stand for? Come on, you're brighter than that here. Any like Chris? No? Ian, you've been travelling the world, been to Qatar and watched lots of football. What's UL stand for? Stands for Universal Language. And about 1885, I think it was, a man living in Warsaw who was an ophthalmologist, thought he would make a new language that everybody could speak, so we could all talk to one another. It didn't matter whether you came from Qatar or Congo or India or Russia or Ukraine. We could all talk to one another. Be lovely if we can. Well, that was about 1885 he started it. How many people speak Esperanto as their native language? Well, estimates depend from about 1,000 to 5,000 people. And how many people can speak Esperanto? Maybe 100,000 or a few more. So not quite a success, I think we have to say, after nearly 140 years. But is there a universal language? Well, in the church I'm at the moment, we have three different families from India. But the only way they can speak to one another is in English, because that's the universal language. I know if you're from China, you could argue it's Chinese. If you're from Spain, you could probably argue it's Spanish. But actually, it's English, isn't it, that's the universal language. Apart from that is from those in America. They think it's the same language, but it's not. A universal language. But maybe there's a different kind of universal language. Love came down at Christmas. Love, or lovely, love divine. When God wanted to speak to the whole world, from the Arctic to the Antarctic, or whichever way around it is, he didn't make up a new spoken language, because he knew there was a deeper, richer way to speak to every one of us. And it's the language of love. You might think the angels would have an advantage. But Paul said, even if I speak in the tongues of men or of angels and have not love, it's absolutely nothing. Because it's love that can speak into everyone's life. Whether we're successful or really struggling, it's love that touches us. It's love that can keep us going. It's love that can change us. And so God, when he wanted to speak to everyone in the world, chose the language of love. I'm sure you all know this verse, whether you come here once a year or this is your first time. But in the Bible it says, "For God so loved the world that he sent his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should never die but have eternal life." God wanted to speak of love, his perfect love, and make that love available to everyone. And Jesus said, "Greater love has no one than this, that he lays down his life for his friends." And Jesus laid down his life first when he came to Bethlehem as a baby. Because what he did then was he gave up all the glory and honour and splendour and security of heaven to be in our vulnerable world. A world where people get hurt. A world where babies can die. And he nearly did. He came because God loves us. And God wanted us to know how much he loves us. And he wanted to be able to speak to everyone, whether they speak Ukrainian or Russian, English or Chinese or Spanish or Congolese or whatever it might be. He wanted us all to know his love. So he spoke that universal language of love when Jesus was born. And he spoke that universal language of love when Jesus was walking about as a 30-year-old. talking to people about God, helping them to see what God was truly like. Not someone to terrify them, but someone with open arms. Not someone who would judge and condemn, but someone who wanted to welcome them into his family. And he showed that love whenever he met people in distress, in grief, who were sick, who had troubled minds. He set them free, he healed them, and spoke that universal language of love. And then it came for his time to die. He could have avoided it. He could have escaped it. But God wanted to speak his message of love right to the end. And so Jesus died on a cross to tell us there is nothing so bad that we can do that would stop God loving us. To tell us that even if we'd messed up completely and thought nothing of ourselves, there was nothing that would stop God loving us. To tell us that even if we spent a lifetime running away from God or just ignoring him, God loved us. And he would go to the uttermost, even to the depths of death, to show us there was no limit to God's love for us. And God showed his love, that universal language of love, when Jesus returned to life, transformed, victorious, showing us that God's love had triumphed over all the hatred and the bitterness and the betrayal and the failure of human life, and that even death would never stop him loving us. The universal language of love, God's love. And I can't quite remember the exact words, but that song that Cliff Richard sang had it, didn't it? It said that every one of us could choose to believe. And that's what John wrote in his gospel. He said to everyone who did believe, he gave the right to become the children of God. And later on when he wrote a letter, John said, "See what love the Father has lavished on us." Maybe Christmas is a time for lavishing, being extra generous, giving more than people expect, giving them amazing surprises, lavishing his love on us. So, okay, that's got AI out the way. That's got UL out the way. But what about YR? Any ideas?
Your Redeemer.
That's a very good one. Very good. That's not what I thought. Oh, it's perhaps better than mine. You must tell me at the end. Anybody else got an idea? Well, YR is simply this. Your response. What's our response going to be to God's offer of love? To God's offer of a new life? To God's offer of a new beginning? I was very touched by another line which said, you know, something like, do we have to be alone? Do we have to be alone? When the lights go down, we get into bed, maybe on our own, do we have to be alone? When someone we love dies, do we have to be alone? And when we face death ourselves, do we have to die alone? And God's answer is no, because I love you. And nothing needs separate you from my love that I've shown you in Jesus Christ. So what's our response going to be? Are we going to go away from here and think, well, that was interesting? Lovely music, great time, wonderful coffee, I've smelt it, a I can't say what the mince pies are like because I didn't taste those, but I'm sure they'll be splendid. Is that what we're going to go away with? Or are we going to go away and say, do you know what? If God has shown his love for me in such an incredible way that we see focused in Jesus in the manger, then maybe it's time for me to think again about Jesus. Because what God longs for in speaking that universal language of love is that we should speak it back. And unless each one of us says yes to God's gift of love, there's a voice missing that he's listening for. And one of the stories Jesus told was of a son who'd behaved abysmally. He'd gone away and squandered all his father's wealth. And he thought, well, I've got nothing to lose. I'll go back and tell my dad I've really messed up. I'm not worthy to be one of his children, but can I come back and be one of your servants? And what he found was that as he journeyed back, his father was looking for him and ran out to meet him and greeted him and said, let's have a great party because this my son was missing. And he's home again. And I know that tonight God is looking across us. And if we have never ever said yes to Jesus, said we want to let go of our own selfish lives and allow Jesus to transform us, if we've never ever said that to God, God is looking for us now and longing that we will say, Father God, have me back. I don't want my voice to be missing from that universal language. And if any of you would like to learn a bit more about why Jesus came, I've only got 4 copies, but I'm sure we can get some more. It's a little booklet which tells us why Jesus came and would give you a chance to think more about it. So please don't be shy, but ask me for one of those booklets. As I said, we had our carol service this morning. It was great. We had some wonderful moments like you did. We had a nativity presentation. All seemed to go beautifully. But afterwards, some of the participants were a bit disgruntled, especially Mary and Joseph. And they said, there was no baby in the manger. They'd forgotten to put the doll. A trivial thing. But if Christ is missing from your life, that is a damaging thing. So make sure, not just the baby, but the Saviour that he became is part and parcel of your life from tonight onwards. Let's pray. Father, thank you that you spoke that universal language of love, costly love, sacrificial love, embracing love, freeing love, eternal love. And we pray that tonight we may see more clearly than ever before that that love is meant for me. And may you see our hearts and lives respond. Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. We ask it to glorify Jesus, our risen Saviour. Amen. Now we're going to sing what is, I think, our final song.
Okay.
come all ye faithful.
Father, thank you for tonight. So many good, beautiful, lovely things for us to enjoy. We thank you for every one of us who's here, who's added to the festive spirit and the celebration of the birth of Jesus. And now we pray that your Holy Spirit would walk with us after the coffee, after the mince pies, when we walk into the dark. Holy Spirit, the loving presence of God, go with us and seek in us the responding love of our lives to your gift of Jesus. We ask it in his name. Amen. And because I won't be with you Christmas Day, I'm going to cheat and wish you all a very, very happy Christmas.
Thank you. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, thank you.
Now I think we can sit down because there's going to be some music, but also the refreshments we've been promised.